So we are continuing in our series entitled Holy Spirit Come. And this morning we're going to talk some about being born of the Spirit. When it comes to becoming a Christian or living as one, many of us tend to emphasize our agency, you know, that we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we received Christ, we opened the door to our hearts, we decided to follow Jesus. And there's more to it than that, and that's part of what we're going to explore this morning. We're going to be looking at a fairly familiar passage to some of you, John chapter 3, and the conversation that Nicodemus has with Jesus. As we reflect on that story together, we're going to unpack this idea of being born of the Spirit, or some of you maybe heard the terminology of being born again. I'll read the passage, I'll make a few observations, and then try to help us to think through what this might mean for us. If I stick to the time, we'll have some space for question and response immediately following the message. So if you have any questions, you can send them into that chat. I'll go back after the message and see what kinds of questions people have, and we'll try to respond to as many of them as possible. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that there is something that you want to do for us that we could never do for ourselves. And so I pray that you would help us to become open to that, to seek you for it if we've never had that experience with you before. Pour out your love on us, open our eyes to be able to see the things of your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. This is John chapter 3. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible. In fact, I encourage that. But for those of you who might not have a Bible handy, we also have it on the screen for you there. I'll read. It says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a person be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it's going, and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Let's unpack this a bit. So this guy, Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus at night. That's an interesting thing that he shows up under cover of dark. But he has a lot going for him. He's a Jew, which means that he's a member of the nation of Israel, God's covenant people. In one sense, Nicodemus already has a kind of relationship with God. And Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Some of us who've been reading the Bible for a while think of the Pharisees as kind of the villains of the New Testament. They end up opposing Jesus by and large, although, you know, obviously Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he's not opposed to Jesus. He's checking Jesus out, so maybe they're not all one thing. But what we do know about Pharisees is that they were people who were serious about God. They were the people who knew the Bible. They were the people who were serious about their faith and about being faithful. So even though some of us tend to think of the Pharisees as like the bad guys, in their world, the Pharisees were highly regarded as people who took God seriously. And so this is the kind of guy that Nicodemus is. And we can infer from the narrative that he is knowledgeable and spiritually hungry and willing to think new thoughts, even if they could be threatening to his place in the world. So if you think about Nicodemus, he already has a lot. He already has position and prestige and power. He's on the ruling council, probably a member of what they called the Sanhedrin, which was a collection of Jewish sort of elders who ruled together, and it was made up of Pharisees and another group called the Sadducees. And for somebody like Nicodemus, being open to Jesus, getting associated with him, could be a costly thing. Could cost him his reputation and his position. Might be one of the reasons he comes at night when it's harder to see him. He knows that there's something special about Jesus. And so he goes to him and he addresses him as rabbi, which is a respectful greeting. It's also kind of a peer greeting. And so maybe he's a little too familiar with Jesus, but at least it's a respectful greeting. And he starts off, he's trying to think about this out loud, right? We know that you've come from God as a teacher. He doesn't say prophet, you know, he could have gone there, but he didn't. He certainly isn't ready to say Messiah yet, but he knows there's something special about Jesus. He says, no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And so I think within that, then, there's this implied question. Who are you? Like, we know there's something special about you. We know you're from God, but we're having trouble locating exactly who you are. And interestingly, Jesus doesn't really engage his question. This is kind of an odd conversation, right? So Nicodemus knocks on the door. He's thinking out loud about his question, and Jesus just ignores it and cuts right to the chase. He says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Interpreters tend to read that literally, you know, something like, if you aren't born of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You won't have an eternity with God. But I think this is also figurative in this case. When he talks about seeing, I think he's partly talking about understanding. And he's telling Nicodemus, unless you're born again, or the Greek can also mean born from above, he'll never understand the things of the kingdom. And it should be clear from their dialogue that Nicodemus does not understand, not at all. What Jesus says to him sounds ludicrous. It sounds impossible. It sounds like nonsense. And Jesus patiently explains what he means. You know, when he says born again, he's talking about being born of God's Spirit, verses 5 and 6. He says that all of us are born of water, a natural birth. We're born of the flesh. But we need a second birth, a birth from above, a birth of the Spirit to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. He goes on to say that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And he's pointing out that when we're born, there's something that's given to us, something that we inherit from our parents. And that's true of our natural biological birth. But it's also true when the Spirit births us. We're given a new nature, a nature which is like God's, which is connected to God, which is alive to the things of God. Now, we saw in the video last week that the Bible words for spirit, ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek, also mean breath or wind. And so Jesus is engaging in a bit of a wordplay here. He seems to be saying that the Holy Spirit and birth of the Spirit are mysterious, kind of like the wind. We can't see where the Spirit comes from, and we don't know where he's going. We can't see the wind, so how do we know that it's real? Well, we might feel it. You know, if we're out and about, we might feel the wind, even if we can't see it. I have been homebound, and so I don't typically feel the wind. But I can hear the wind sometimes. I can also see the effects of the wind. And when we're born of the Spirit, something like that happens to us. People can't see the Spirit, and they can't see our being born of the Spirit directly, but they may sense something. They may feel the difference, or they may see the effects, like looking through the window and seeing a tree bending or leaves being carried by the breeze. What might they see? They might see the birth of the Spirit in what we care about. For instance, maybe we care about other people's needs, including that they would come to know him. We may begin to care about the things of God and want to pursue them in a sort of concentrated way. One of the signs that I knew that something had happened to my brother when he became a Christian, when he converted, was that he suddenly became a reader. So in our house, for most of my life, I was the reader, and my brother, I mean, he could read and he was smart, but he just didn't seem that interested in it. But after he became a Christian, he was always reading the Bible, these Christian books. I'd walk into a room and I'd find him there poring over something. And even though I didn't believe that what he said was true, and even though I wasn't convinced yet, that was something I could not explain away. Like something was happening to him, and I'd never seen anything like it in his life. People may see it in the way that we relate to other people, that we become servant-hearted or forgiving. We're more generous or welcoming to others in our hospitality. They may see it in a renewed self-concept. We no longer seem paralyzed when we used to be. We have a new freedom or hope. They may not know why, but they can see that something is going on. Maybe they see that we've become free of shame. Or on the other hand, maybe they see a new humility, a greater self-awareness, a willingness to be real with how we're doing and where we're struggling. That doesn't all happen at once, but that can be one of the effects of new birth in a person's life. They may see it in spiritual gifts empowered by the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that a bit later in the series. Or in character transformation, like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. But Jesus is saying that there's some mystery here. We can't always see the Spirit coming. He can be hard to predict. Why does one person come to Christ and another person hangs around but that never seems to happen? Why is one person noticeably changed and another person seems unaffected? When I first became a seeker, I joined this Christian fellowship. It was a tiny little thing, less than a dozen people. And every Friday night, we would study the Bible together, sing, and I'd ask my questions. Around the time that I joined up, there was another guy about my age who had roughly the same questions. So it was fun, actually, to be in there with the Christians trying to figure things out. By the end of the year, everything had changed for me. I had become convinced. I had gotten answers to my questions. I had given my life to Jesus, and things were going off in a whole different direction. The other guy still pretty much had the same questions that he came in with. And for as long as I knew him, he pretty much had those questions. Like, it never seemed to change for him. I don't know why that is. The Holy Spirit, blows where he wills. But there's some mystery to this whole thing. The bottom line here, the thing that I want you to take home, is that we must be born of the Spirit. We must be born again from above. Nicodemus had a lot on his side. He was born into the people of God. He had years of committed study and disciplined law-keeping as a Pharisee. He had spiritual curiosity and openness, but he still needs something that he does not have and that he cannot do for himself. He needs new birth. He needs a birth from above. He needs a new nature. He needs to become alive to God in a new way. And here's the trick. He can't just decide to do it. He needs something from outside of himself to act on him, to birth him. He does not have the resources in himself to make this happen. Nobody births themselves, right? We're all birthed by somebody else, and that's true spiritually as well. What's true of Nicodemus is true for us. Don't get me wrong, we need to choose, but it's not just our choosing. And we need to grow, but it's not just our growing. There's something transforming that needs to happen. And we can't do it to ourselves. We need the Spirit of God to intervene, to birth us from above. So again, there is such a thing as a Christian worldview, and I encourage us all to cultivate thinking more Christianly. But Christianity isn't just the adoption of a worldview. Christian doctrines and values are important, and I want us to mature in our knowledge of them and in our ability to articulate them. But Christianity is more than that. Christians are disciples of Jesus. They learn his ways, they follow him, and they help other people to do the same. But being a Christian is more than choosing to follow Jesus. Unless we're born again from above by the Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Like Nicodemus, we need something from outside ourselves, something that we can't achieve or choose, something which only the Spirit of God can do. We need a new nature, the nature that's like God's, from the Spirit of God. We need the heart of stone within us to be made into a living heart which beats for God and for the things of God. We need something like this. As a child, I learned about metamorphosis and I was fascinated by it. And we need something like that, a transformation. That was time-lapse photography. That whole video took less than a minute. The process from the caterpillar sort of bursting out of its egg to becoming a butterfly takes 28 days. The caterpillar is inside the cocoon for like 10 days. So that was sped up a bit. But what I'm trying to illustrate here is that we need transformation. It's a good thing to want to choose Jesus. That's proof that God is already working in your life, because you would never do that unless the Holy Spirit were already drawing you. But choosing is not the end, right? Just like learning information and stuff, it's very important, but it is not the end. There's something that God does in our lives that transforms us, that makes us new. So my honest question for you today is, has that ever happened to you? It's not a shameful thing if it hasn't happened, but we need that. We need God to birth us, to transform something on the inside. That could even happen today. The problem is, if we can't do it, then are we helpless? Like in many of these messages, I'll call for a response and this kind of thing. But you know, if this is something that we cannot do, are we kind of stuck? And the answer is yes and no. Yes, because new birth is not something that we can accomplish. But we're not stuck, you know. So this is the no, because God wants to do it. We can't make it happen, but we can ask. And God, in his generosity, makes it happen. We can ask and we can yield ourselves and say, you know, I'd be glad for you to do this. I welcome you to do this. And that's something that I want to invite us to this morning. I want to invite us in this brief prayer time to ask and to allow God to do transforming work in our lives. Some of us have had new birth, but somehow it's gotten kind of stale, and maybe we just need a refresher. We can ask for that. Let's pray. Lord God, we recognize that there is more to being a Christian than just our doing. More than our energy, more than our effort. There's something that you do. And so we invite you to do it. We acknowledge that we can't make it happen. We can't make ourselves new. We can't birth ourselves from above. Yeah, we pray that you would have mercy on us, that you would send the Holy Spirit to birth us from above, or to refresh our new birth, so that we are metamorphosized, that we are transformed. Thank you, Lord, that even though we are kind of helpless, we are depending on your faithfulness, and your faithfulness is a sure thing. You are completely reliable. This morning, we offer ourselves to you as best we know how. In Jesus' name, amen.